All right, the recorder is going. James chapter 2. I have it on page 721. 421. Okay, here we go. I love this. This is important. Some people argue this point, but actually I think it's very important. I have said that you are the leader of your own awakening. But the one who leads you to awakening does not select and judge based on the many ways that seem to be within the world. The one who leads selects and judges not, so that he accepts and follows the path he has already laid out for himself. So this is an important paragraph to me, because this is talking about the difference between you and what you aren't, but you think you are. So like when it says you are the leader of your own awakening, it is not talking to your ego. And that's important. It's really asking you to find that intuition. It's asking you to look for the you that does not select and judge. You know, and if you pay any attention to the mind is always judging and selecting between options, you know, looking at things a million different ways. And it's saying that is not what's in charge of your awakening. The you that's in charge of your awakening selects and judges not. And if you pay any attention to intuition at all, even though intuition will prompt you, just before I turned on the recorder, I was talking about when I was in a restaurant. Now I'm going to tell this story again because this is a good, simple example. I was in a restaurant and I opened up a menu and I immediately felt to have the lasagna, right? There was no looking at the menu and judging and analyzing and selecting. There was no thought about what would taste good, what would not taste good, what's healthy, what's not healthy, what's fattening, what's not fattening. None of that selecting and judging happened with the prompt to have the lasagna. It just, the lasagna. And then I'm the one who decided, oh no, I don't want lasagna. You know, I want to read the whole menu. I want to think about it. Oh, I think I want this with the vegetables and the cream sauce. And see, that was the selecting and judging mind. And if you pay attention to the difference between the two, the intuition, even though, you know, you could argue it makes a choice. I mean, it chose lasagna, but it didn't actually select lasagna in the same way the thinking mind selected cannelloni. There was a whole process of looking at everything and selecting out of, right? Where the lasagna just came, have the lasagna. And just FYI, for those of you who are listening, I had the cannelloni instead and I ended up having food poisoning. Should have had the lasagna. But the point here is what this is asking us to do. It's telling you, you are the leader of your awakening, but I'm not talking about your mind. So how do you choose a teacher? How do you choose a book to read? How do you choose, you know, if you go to retreats and conferences, which retreats and conferences to go to? And this is saying it should not come from the thinking mind. You know, every step along the way of what you're going to do on the spiritual path should come from intuition, right? So I'm going to read the first paragraph again and then go on. I have said that you are the leader of your own awakening, but the one who leads you to awakening does not select and judge based on the many ways that seem to be within the world. The one who leads selects and judges not, so that he or it accepts and follows the path it has already laid out for itself. One thing that's really interesting about that too, and there's no real answer for it. I can't give you an answer, but it's just curious that it says our path for awakening is already laid out for us.
That's what struck me here.
Yeah. Yeah, it says your path of awakening is already laid out for you. So if I don't think you can understand that with the mind. At least I can't understand that with the mind. But if you accept it, it puts you into follower mode. Right? Then you just follow that intuition because it already knows the path. And if you're put into follower mode, you're not going to be in the selecting and judging mind, right? You're going to be in the surrendered follower mind. So if you can just accept, my spiritual path is already decided. There's nothing to think about. There's nothing to judge and select. I'll just feel the intuition and follow because it knows what it's doing. The path is already laid out, right? And that's all you really have to get out of that sentence.
I have on a sticky note from the previous class where it said, in order to awaken, you have to awaken. And that's kind of like you said about accepting that it's already there, all you have to do is accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And you become the leader.
The follower.
Follower to what has already been planned. Because I kept wondering, well, what does it mean to awaken you? The way to awaken is to awaken you, that's what it said. And then the second one said, the way to awaken is to accept the blaze within as you.
Yes.
Now, I find that easier to do.
Yeah.
But now that we're saying that, that makes sense to me at first. But I read them every day trying to make a mind.
That's nice.
But that helped.
Yeah, that's good. That's nice. All right, so verses 5-7. The many ways of the world are distractions for you. To be caught up in them is to be caught up in the world. This is not the path to awakening. This is also hard for maybe all of us to accept. I was going to say some people, but then I thought, all of us. until it's not anymore. The mind is set on the idea that my happiness or my safety is in the world.
Yeah.
Right? My happiness or my safety is in the world. I have to have enough money, or I have to have a good enough job, or if I'm a kid, I have to get a good enough education so I can get a good enough job. I have to take trips. I have to be around my friends or my relatives. I have to see my children, every day or every week or every month or whatever. And the mind says, if I don't have these things, I can't be happy and I can't be safe. And we believe that. And this is saying those are all just distractions for us. Because every time we believe that, we forget the truth. We forget about God. We forget about the only happiness is within. Happiness is right here. I can be happy with anything. I can be happy with or without my children. It's funny because I've always known that, but I just had that realization really strong today because, Jasmine is going away soon. And, one of the schools she's considering is the one in Arizona. And, it just this thought crossed my mind, a year from now she could be gone. And I thought, that's really okay with me. I know it's not with all parents, though, but that's okay with me, I love her, but I don't need her for my happiness. All I need for my happiness is right here. Right here. I'm touching my chest, for those of you who can't see me. And that's what this is saying. If I think I need my daughter for my happiness, I'm being distracted away from here. Because and you can see how that's happening, because my attention is out instead of in. Yeah. So the many ways of the world are distractions for you. To be caught up in them is to be caught up in the world. This is not the path to awakening.
I have an example of that this morning. Distraction. I wanted to buy a humidifier, and I saw it at Bath & Beyond, and I thought, I need to have a 20% off coupon. So I started looking at coupons, and I'm supposed to be meditating. But I'm looking at myself, and the mind is telling me, you got to find a coupon, and then you can meditate.
Yeah.
Then everything will be fine. Everything will be perfect. And I'm looking at that, what my mind is telling me, and I said, no, I know that's not true, But it's hard when you're on the roll. This is what I wanted to do. it's hard to stop. You know?
Yeah, I understand. That's because ego is actually addictive.
Yeah.
Ego is like chocolate. It's addictive. You know, so the more you have of it, the more you want it. But I was laughing when you were telling me, because we all have had those days, the mind, you know, we knew we should be contemplating or meditating, but the mind's like, just take care of this first. And you know what? If you listen to the mind, guess what happens that day? You don't contemplate or meditate, because the time flies and then, you know, you can't, right? So it's a nifty little trick. Just take care of this first. The only thing that I really do before I go into meditation or contemplation is make coffee and post the daily quote. And anything else is too much, and then I need to move into it, because otherwise...
You keep going.
Yeah, yeah, I'll keep going. All that other stuff can wait. Yeah. All right, so starting with sentence 4. You are the leader of your own awakening through the spirit that does not desire the ways of the world, but humbly desires freedom from those ways. And so it does not reach out to the world, but it watches and accepts, knowing and trusting that the path it is on is its own path to enlightenment, because the path that is being walked is the path it has already chosen and given to itself. Now, this is a really cool paragraph, too, because this paragraph, again, is pointing out the you that is leading this awakening, right? The leader of your own awakening is the spirit that does not desire the ways of the world, right? So it's not the part of you that's worried about the coupon or worried about, you know, being with the kids or worried about, it's not that part of you. That's not the part that's leading your awakening. It's the part that isn't concerned about those things. And in fact, it even desires freedom from those outward attachments. That's the spirit that desires freedom from all attachments. But then it says, this is really interesting, sentence 5, it says, and so it does not reach out to the world, but it watches and accepts. What this is talking about is, even though you're not attached to getting a humidifier, you know, being with your kids, whatever, 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 life keeps happening. And it's saying the spirit in you watches and accepts life. It also doesn't resist life. It doesn't say, you know, like if the husband comes in and says, come on, let's go get a humidifier. It doesn't say, no, damn it, I have to meditate. Spirit doesn't do that, right? I know you would say damn it anyway, but you know the energy I'm trying to.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't do that. Spirit accepts, looks like we're going to go get a humidifier now. And this is a part of my awakening, being able to go get a humidifier this morning when I thought I wanted to meditate, right? So those occasional interruptions that happen where you just can't today because life is happening, it's being able to accept that with the same trust. So it does not reach out to the world, right? It's not attached to the world, but it watches and accepts, knowing and trusting that the path it is on is its own path to enlightenment. So the fact that my husband is, you know, taking me out to buy a humidifier this morning, this is actually a part of my awakening. And it sees everything that way. So, and I think we can all sense, I mean, we all have this in us innately. You know, obviously, we know when the calling is to meditate and we're letting the mind distract us. But we also know the days when life just isn't turning out that way and we're fighting for meditation.
Yeah.
Right? Both are ego, right? You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Both are ego. Mm-hmm. You know, so what this is saying is spirit knows the difference. You know, spirit is the one that trusts everything. If time is being provided today for meditation, it's the spirit in us that embraces that and meditates instead of looking for coupons or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But if time is not being provided for meditation today, it's the spirit in us that accepts that too, right? And says, this is all a part of my awakening. And we can all, I always tell Danielle that, I tell her I want a balance beam for the backyard as a part of my, because I have a little walk that I sometimes do out there, like a little meditation walk. I told her I wanted to add a balance beam to it, because to me, the spiritual path is like a balance beam, because you can fall on one side or the other too easily. You can fall on the side of being distracted and not doing your meditation or contemplation. You can also fall on the side of being attached to your meditation and contemplation, and therefore getting upset on those days when it just doesn't happen, right?
Yes.
The middle is where we want to be, the balance beam. That's the spiritual path. And spirit knows the balance beam, right? The spirit in you. So it's just a matter of really discerning that balance beam and then walking that balance beam.
Whenever there's resistance, it's always ego.
Yes.
You know, if you want to meditate and it's not, the time is not being provided, if there's a resistance, it's always ego.
Yes. Yeah, and you know the difference. I mean, we all know the difference. You know, it's not rocket science. It's just learning to listen to the part of us that's actually leading our awakening.
Right.
Instead of the other part.
Right.
That's all it is. Yeah. Now, verses 8 to 11. Do not worry that you shall make a mistake. Worry that you could make a mistake comes from the belief that you are a mistake, which is also the belief that you are sin, which I call the I am bad belief. This is but a misunderstanding regarding what you are. You can recognize this misunderstanding by your lack of joy. I love that. You know, Bentino talks about this. Bentino talks about you can tell how aligned you are with truth by how joyful you feel. You know, the more joyful you feel, the more aligned you are with truth. The less joyful you feel, the more you've strayed. Now, my mind used to would have argued this. So I'll tell you I don't anymore, but I'll tell you the argument I would have had. I would have said, I didn't know Bentino then when I would have argued it, but I'll pretend like it. I would have said, Bentino, that's not true. Because sometimes I'm happy because I'm eating chocolate right now. And I like chocolate. And that doesn't mean a thing about me being closer to truth. But what I've learned since then is that's not true. I'm not happy because I'm eating chocolate right now. I'm happy because I'm accepting the moment as it is right now.
Yeah.
I may only do it for the length of time that I'm eating the chocolate, right? And then as soon as I stop, I might start judging myself for having eaten the chocolate, right? But in the moment that I'm not judging, I'm happy. You know, whether it's because I have chocolate in my mouth, or whether it's because the sun is shining, or whether it's because I'm petting my dog.
Or having a cigarette.
Or having a cigarette, right. The real reason I'm happy is because I'm accepting, and that is closer to truth. You know, so Bentino is right. He's absolutely right. When we're at joy, we are closer to truth. And then when we're not in joy, it means we're further from truth. So this is saying that you will recognize that worrying about whether you're going to make a mistake or not on the spiritual path is a misunderstanding or further from truth. How do you know that? Because of your lack of joy. Have you ever been joyful and worried that you're going to mess up on the spiritual path at the same time? No, it's impossible. Yeah, it's impossible. So you can really judge by how you feel or discern by how you feel whether you're listening to the right mind or the wrong mind right now. Right?
And I used to think because I wasn't in bliss that I wasn't in joy, but I have come to find out that joy doesn't have to be bliss.
Yeah.
Joy can just be a state of feeling right and at peace and content.
I was going to say, I experience it as just I'm just content. That's a perfect word. I mean, sometimes I'm, you know, blissfully happy, you know, laughing and all that. But my general feeling is a feeling of contentment. And there's another word, too, but it hasn't come to me. But there's something telling me there's another word. What is the other word? Contentment, well-being. A general feeling of contentment and well-being. You know, everything is okay.
Yeah, there's nothing pulling you. You don't feel pulled the other way.
Yeah.
You know, you're just there.
Yeah.
Feels so good.
Yeah. Okay, so again, do not worry that you shall make a mistake. Worry that you could make a mistake comes from the belief that you are a mistake, which is also the belief that you are sin. This is but a misunderstanding regarding what you are. You can recognize this understanding by your lack of joy. Here's an interesting paragraph, another one I would have argued with once. You cannot make a mistake because you are perfect and whole and in communication now. All thoughts are shared. There has never been a moment of not sharing. Therefore, your true desire is known, and its path is being given to you just as you have asked. You know, I would have argued the heck out of that. You can make a mistake. And you know, in a way you can. In a way you can. But in a truer way you can't. For example, I received this guidance a couple of weeks ago to be in devotion all the time. And for some reason I resisted it. And I went exactly the opposite way, exactly into the head. I was more in the head for a week and a half than I usually am. You know, I just completely ran into the head. And I was just in the head. And, you know, is that a mistake? I actually can't say that it was, because when I was in the head, there was this low level of suffering that I don't usually experience. And you know what that did? That made me want to go to the heart. So was it a mistake? It seems to have readied me more. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's like confirmed it for you that you needed to go, you know.
Yeah, it confirmed it for me. So, you know, on the one hand, it seemed like a mistake, but on the other hand, it didn't, because I became more ready to follow the guidance through that period
right.
of not following it
right.
and experiencing the suffering, right? Mm-hmm. So this is saying, again, just trust everything. Even trust your resistance. Rather than judging it, because you may be readying yourself for a stronger period of dedication, because you learn through the resistance, right? There can be no mistake in the oneness that you are. Misperception is your greatest enemy, because misperception tells you that all is as it is not, but this is not a sin, it is only an error, and all error can be corrected. So an example of a misperception is, oh my God, I'm such a loser because I received guidance to go into the heart and instead I went to the head. So that's a misperception, you know? And the misperception just comes from my own judgment. And it's saying, it's not that what happened is not wrong, but my perception of what happened can be wrong. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened is fine. So the only thing that can really be wrong, or the only mistake that can really occur, is our perception of it. It is perfect. Verses 14 to 17. Look well within your mind and see your misperceptions. See also that you have put your trust in them, so that even as you walk this path, which you have chosen for yourself, you do not see the path, and so you misperceive. It is your misperception that causes you to suffer. So this is saying that literally we're walking this perfect, perfect path, but we have in our mind what it's supposed to look like. Like, here's what it's supposed to look like. The second that I receive guidance to go into devotion, I'm supposed to go in devotion and never come out again. Right? That's what it's supposed to look like. And since it didn't look like that, I must have done it wrong. I must be a loser. I'm not near as good as anyone else. Everyone else is better at this. And see, it's all that chatter. It's all that chatter. That's what's wrong.
Yeah.
Right? That's what's wrong. Sentence 4. Have mercy on yourself by being willing to surrender your misperceptions for the light of your own awakening. You are standing and walking your way, because this is the way you have chosen. Trust in yourself and your leadership, and you will see the value and joy in all things. It's literally telling us that our life is our practice, or our life is our guru, and that we've selected this life, including our mates, including our children, including our problems, right? And when I say we've selected it, again, we don't mean that judging mind. We don't mean the ego, right? Mm-hmm. And you could say, if you are still identified with the ego, you could say, this has been selected for me by God, would be a better way of saying it, right? Yes. But this life is the perfect life for you. And if you embrace that, then you can embrace everything that happens along the way. Verses 18 to 19. Relax unto yourself and lay aside your worries. They struggle against the true desire of your heart, and so they are not helpful. Abraham is the symbol of the birth of the awareness of light within your mind. With this birth came the willingness of true desire, and with this willingness came the plan of how true desire shall be fulfilled within the mind that is one. This is the plan you selected with that first awareness of light. Look ahead in optimism and faith. The plan has already been laid out for you. Walk this path in trust. Leave your misperceptions behind. And I don't think we should think too much about what that means, actually. I think the best thing to do is to do what it's telling us to do. Walk this path in trust. Again, just accept this path is already laid out for me. I am walking this path perfectly. All I have to do is quit chattering about it in my mind. Right? That's all I have to do. And just be with what is unfolding.
Accept what is,
exactly. Verses 25 and 26. You rise above your misperceptions of yourself because your misperceptions are your dream. By letting go of what you think you are and where you believe your choices to be, you let go of all that is false. And then you walk peacefully, without misperception, the path you have given yourself for your own awakening from dreams. So again, the moral of the story here is quit judging our own life and our own personal self. And just accept that everything is unfolding perfectly and learn to live in that acceptance. So I suppose that's probably our assignment for the week, right? Just whatever happens, accept that everything is unfolding perfectly and live within that acceptance. Whether we meditate today or don't, mm-hmm. You know.
And be compassionate.
And be with
have
yourself.
Have mercy on yourself.
Yeah, have mercy on yourself. Yeah. Well, Elvis Presley, is that who says have mercy? Or was it just a... Well, I know Jasmine watches this TV show where a guy imitates Elvis Presley all the time, and he always says, have mercy, but maybe it was just that character. But yeah, have mercy on yourself. All right, so I'll go ahead and stop the recorder, and we'll just have a little bit of silence while we soak this in.